And it is Tuesday night here at the Talk To Me Abode, hanging out with John Drake. We got Ro Coley hanging out in the green room, about to come on, and we will pull them on momentarily. But if you are listening live, make sure you are commenting over on Facebook, commenting over on YouTube. Get in the action and let everybody know that you are checking out the show. If you're checking this out on podcast form, make sure you're rating, reviewing, giving us a nice five-star rating, nice five-star review. And first, I'm going to pull up John. I know, Ro, you're in the hanging out in the green room there, but I'm going to pull up John because I got a little treat for John Drake. So let's welcome to the show, John Drake.
What's up, man? How you been? It's been a while.
It has been a while, man. It has been a while. Let's see here. Pull up your little treat that I have for you because we need to talk about something.
All right. Oh.
So through the power of technology, I get to razz you one more time with all of this. So this is the highlights from week one, John.
I was in the dog pound for this 12 rows off the field, and as the game progressed, I, you know, realized that it was not going to be a very fun Sunday night or Monday for me, or obviously the next year.
Right. No,
I couldn't believe how ugly it got. That was so unexpected. I mean, we talked about this before, but I can't even tell you the energy that was in that stadium. We were all so excited for the Browns just go kill people, and then we just got absolutely curb stomped. It's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, so what was funny is obviously you guys were the darlings of the offseason, and you know, you predicted 12-4 and the Super Bowl and all this other nonsense. And
I predicted 10-6. I was 10-6.
I don't know. We'll have to go back to the tape on that one. But so I go to the bar and I'm by myself. Obviously, not a lot of Titans fans around me. And dude, it was the place went nuts. I had Bengals fans and Steelers fans and Ravens fans coming up to me like, thank you for shutting them up. Like, it was so amazing.
Well, all I can tell you is don't listen to Steeler and Bengal fans. They combined might have an IQ of about 47. So, you know, Raven fans I'll take a little bit of shit from, but the other two, no, just a bunch of goddamn troglodytes, but, you know.
No, so. I had to do it, man. I had to give you a little razzing. Plus, with the power of StreamYard, I can actually put up clips. I'm not just we're not just looking at this all crazy here.
Just remember, we get to do this again soon. So you are building up one hell of a cache, man, because if you lose, especially if you get your ass kicked, you are going to get it back. I'm going to figure out how to use the StreamYard so just to have one episode of my podcast on just to show nothing but that game.
Right. It was so much fun. Yeah. But all right, so we'll get the football talk out of the way and get Ro into the conversation here, but I had to do it. Oh, look at that. Look at him. You got beat by Marcus Mariota at that too. Whew.
You all act like Ryan Tannehill's freaking Tom Brady. You'll see.
Yeah, he could be Tom Brady. You'll never know.
I do know. It's Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, it's too much fun. All right, let's get that crap out of here and bring in Ro Coley. Ro,
yes,
welcome
sir.
To the show, man.
What's there going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
How are we doing?
How are you guys doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Look at you, Ro Coley with War Machine Marketing. You know, he knows how to market. He throws it.
This is actually Mess Machine Marketing. My office is a fucking mess. Sorry, I'm like trying to move stuff around, make sure that shit doesn't. I'm like, what is this doing here? I don't even know what that is. I don't know what the hell's going on. Don't mind me.
Nice.
I think it's Tuesday. I've lost track of all the days. I just started making up new words for days.
COVID calendar.
Yeah, exactly, right? I think today's Throx Day, as far as I remember. I'm just going to make up all new words because none of it matters anymore.
Nice.
None of it matters.
So through my friendship with both of you guys, Ro is like the Armenian.
Armenian.
John Drake.
Armenian. What are I'm you? Not Armenian. I'm Indian. I'm Indian. I'm actually first generation, full on, dot not feather Indian.
Well, there you go.
Way to go. Way to do your research, Toomey. Way to do your research.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
I just
listen to System of a Down once, and it's like, oh, everybody who's dark must be Armenian. Right. I don't recall there being an IAN at the end of my last name.
Oh, now I'm all
just
red.
Saying.
Oh,
just saying.
You don't have to pull the mic up to your face, Roy. You're sounding good without it.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I'm just saying, we'll use it this way. If there are two people on the planet that love Pantera and Star Wars as much as the next guy, you guys should be like twins.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
I'm all for it.
Damn, all
about it. And yep. And I've also recently have rediscovered my love for G.I. Joe.
Nice.
So, G.I. Joe and Transformers. So I'm all about there. All of it now. Yeah. My whole world is mashups. I actually just got a Cobra tattoo on the back of my leg that combines Cobra, the Dreadnoks, the tattoo that Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes have on their arm, and like the Iron Grenadiers. And people are like, that's like 2000% nerd. And I was like, you're goddamn right it is. That's how I roll.
Since we're talking tattoos, you got to show John your fingers. Star Wars?
Can I do this? Okay, I don't know if this will work. Does that work? Hold on, hold on. There we go.
Fantastic. I got to do mine there.
Bunch of nerds.
Very nice.
Don't know how well
and,
that works.
And of course, we always have the tried and true. Trying true mythosaur over there, if I can get my camera on it somehow.
Yes.
I got that shit in like 1996 too, like before anybody was really doing any of this. I was just like, you know, I'm gonna do something that's different. Now it's like everybody and their mother's like, this is the way. I'm like, you know, shut up.
just go, have your next tattoo be a date underneath that one.
Right. So exactly. Like, I'm just gonna start dating all my tattoos.
Like
10/11/1592. That's pretty cool. It was a good year.
That way you're covered.
Right, exactly. Oh, you think you're old school? Look at that date. I can't even read it anymore. It's all blurred together.
Right.
Well, since I had two of you guys on, I did wear my nice, the best trilogy of all time shirt, Back to the Future.
All right, fine, whatever. I'll give you that one, Josh. Fair enough.
There we go.
If you're not counting Star Wars and Indiana Jones, I'll go with you.
There you go. Oh,
isn't Indiana Jones isn't a trilogy anymore, is it?
No, it is not. It is
quadrilogy.
A quadrilogy, soon to be a quintilogy.
And yes. Star Wars standalone trilogy.
Yes.
And there's not much other standalone trilogy, so win by default.
Yeah.
Are there Hunger Games? Is that three?
John?
I have not watched Hunger Games, so I think it is three.
I think that one's three as well. Yeah. You know, you got the Hobbit and all that sort of fun stuff.
I need to do my research, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now that's a good one too. Lord of the Rings. That excellent.
Yeah. They work together, they work separate. I think that's a pretty impressive thing right there.
I was actually just watching one of the Hobbit movies in 3D VR last night. And it was
3D VR.
Awesome.
How did you watch it on 3D VR?
I don't even know what that is.
That sounds horrifying and awesome at the same time.
I'm gonna put this out there for anybody watching that actually has. I don't know if it works with like an Oculus or something, but I bought the PlayStation VR a couple weeks ago because they got Star Wars Squadrons coming out and it's full VR game. I was like, if there's fucking B-Wings and TIE Fighters and X-Wings in VR, I am flying that shit.
Hell yeah, dude.
So I bought it and I went to put in I have home 3D, like, you know, I got a 3D Blu-ray player and all the Blu-rays and stuff. And so I put in Rise of Skywalker and my VR headset happened to be plugged in at the time. And this thing pops up on the screen and says, you could watch 3D movies in VR. I was like, excuse me. So I put the headset on and it was like, I mean, a life-changing moment. I have never seen a movie in a better environment unless it's actually being their opening night for a Star Wars movie. Fucking rules. You have to do it. It's like a private theater. It's like in your entire line of vision, like, you know, 3D surround. So if you turn to the left and stuff, it's over here, whatever. But It's like, especially with the 3D, it's like you are actually in that movie. So it's like having the best seat in the theater, a couple rows closer, but not being too close. Like,
right.
It is a fully immersive movie watching experience. I couldn't believe it. So I have all kinds of, like, all the Marvel movies in 3D. I got Top Gun.
Holy crap, like
Jurassic Park and all that. So this weekend, I just told my wife, I was like, "Kiss Saturday goodbye. I'm gonna be lost, and I'll be like the lawnmower. I'll be like the lawnmower man." You know, speaking of nerd references,
right? You're just gonna be drooling. You're gonna have like foam coming down.
Well, and that's what sucks. Like, because the thing comes down over your nose a little bit, so you do have to breathe through your mouth. So I found myself there, like with my mouth just hanging open like a moron, right? But otherwise I couldn't breathe. So
turn into a mouth breather overnight.
Totally did.
We got Chris Aiken coming in with the best trilogy ever is the Big Mama trilogy.
Yeah, exactly.
He would know.
Chris Tyler Perry movie.
Indiana Jones is a trilogy. It's best to ignore the fourth.
I was waiting for the Crystal Skull hate, man.
Corey Davis, I like the Crystal Skull. I don't care what anybody says. I like that.
Corey Davis, you have good taste. You have good taste. I love the Crystal Skull.
Only thing that really sucked about it, in my opinion, was the CGI on the monkeys. That's about it. Otherwise, I still think it was a lot of fun.
To me, it's like it's Indiana Jones. Like, I heard a lot of people saying, "Oh, it's so fake. How's he going to survive being blown up in a refrigerator?" I was like, did you watch the other movies? Like, how's he going to survive any of that?
He almost had his heart ripped out of his chest out loud. Like, that guy can go through a lot.
Yeah, since when are we into Indiana Jones for the realism, man? It's like, come on.
Since Exos, you're the one, Ro.
I am the one. There can be only one. Thankfully, there should only be one. So, we really don't need another one of this running around.
We're going to get it back to the Future, though. You know that the refrigerator is a throwback to one of the original Back to the Future scripts because it was supposed to be a nuclear blast and a refrigerator was time travel. But then they switched it to a DeLorean and lightning. So that's where the refrigerator nuclear blast comes from.
Steven Spielberg brought it back.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Nerding out.
I still think it's a lot. Yeah, right. Totally. I still think it's. I'm excited to see what this fifth one is going to be too. Although it's like after seeing Harrison Ford in the last couple of movies and stuff, I'm just like, I just picture him just totally calling it, like just phoning it in, just like, yeah, this used to be a lot easier. To be like, okay, like he's definitely not in it anymore. We're good on Harrison Ford.
They kill him off within the first half hour and just have it be like Sala running around.
Right, totally. Oh, great. That's all we need.
So, Ro, what do you got going on with War Machine Marketing right now?
Well, let's see, as you can imagine, masks are a pretty big deal right now. So we're making a lot of those. So we make merch for a lot of bands and a lot of companies and stuff like that. So everything from, you know, backdrops and scrims and stuff like that for bands to tour merch to all that sort of stuff. So right now everybody's going crazy on the mask thing, which is cool in its own little weird way. It's really funny because a lot of people, you know, whether you like the masks or don't like the masks or don't like wearing them or like wearing them and don't mind wearing whatever it is, right? I look at it like, I think it's a really dope new merch item. Like, it's a merch item I never would have come up with. I think it's really cool. I've seen ones, we've made ones that have, like, you know, teeth on them and stuff like that and logos in them. And I'm like, I go to a show wearing a crazy friggin' grizzly ass, you know, monster teeth looking like Baraka from Mortal Kombat kind of mask, you know? Like, I think that'd be kind of cool if you were up on stage and you saw just a bunch of people with, like, masks with all different expressions on it. I don't know. I think that's kind of awesome, you know? So I think as far as just a merch item, I think it's cool. The fact that it's, you know, utilitarian for the time that it is for right now is one thing. But I think in a lot of ways, I think it's kind of part of the new fabric of things. I think it's a really, you know, do I think it's the next black t-shirt? Maybe not, but I think it's cool. You can, you know, pay what, 10 or 15 bucks. You get a mask. You're going to use it if you have to go into stores and stuff like that. Or you go to your band, you know, your favorite band show, you put it on your face. Like, it's not, you know, the biggest thing in the world. What, like, suddenly metalheads are like, no, I have to show my face. You know, like, sorry, man, we're not the prettiest bunch of people in the world. So, you know, so to me, I'm kind of like, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to have, you know, to have these masks, you know, to have these masks made and whatnot, you know, I think it works as a cool promotional tool. I think that at pretty much any convention from now on, comic book or otherwise, you know, masks are just going to become the new promo item too. They're inexpensive, et cetera. So we're doing good on those. And the we're doing puzzles, which is also a really cool thing since people are still kind of stuck at home. So puzzles, you know, if you have a band's artwork and whatnot, it's just full color, super awesome, 1,000 pieces. And then we're doing the custom action figures, which we always do.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah. The funny thing with the puzzles, man, is like when the quarantine kind of first hit, and that was like the first thing we did, we went to the store, we bought Monopoly, we bought Scrabble, we bought like puzzles. It was pretty much like grandma's house over here,
right? You know, some Werther's originals and you're all set, man.
Hey, you know? I love some Werther's originals now.
Those are gross.
No, they aren't. Watch your mouth, Rob.
I do. Toomey. That's why I don't put them in there.
Oh, Werther's are great. I'm gonna have to side with Toomey on that one.
Oh, God. You know, I don't know. I think that's just, you know, I think about the way that I grew up just like with Indian parents and stuff. And then when you go to like, you know, other people's houses, whether you're white or, you know, Hispanic or whatever, and it's like you see the way they live and you're just like, yeah, that was never us. You know, like Werther's originals was the kind of thing where you're just like, I don't know what that's all about, and I'm gonna prefer to keep it that way. So
I grew up with Italian grandparents, so we had all kinds, you know, of ribbon candy and all kinds of, yes, Italian stuff,
exactly,
in a bowl. That was just,
exactly,
one giant conglomerated.
Just because you pick up the one ribbon candy and the whole bowl comes up with it.
Yeah.
Or they're all just shaped like the bowl.
That's exactly what I had.
I know it. Yep. That's right. Whenever I went to my friend's house and they're like, you want some candy? I'm like, no.
No, not really. Not really.
I'll stay over here. Thanks.
Unless you got a chisel.
Yeah. Right. I'll just chew on this fruit stripes gum that lost its flavor an hour and a half ago.
Right.
You know, yeah. So that was there. Werther's originals was never a real thing for us. So, but yeah. I mean, it's just like root beer. Root beer was never a thing for us either. Like, people love root beer, and I'm just like, everybody in my family is like, that is the most grossest thing we've ever had. Ever. it's just a weird thing, man. But sorry, man. You were saying about the puzzles, though. That's kind of it. It's like people just started getting really into it. Places sold out of it. And the cool thing is that, I don't know, for me at least, just on a business aspect, is that, like, you don't have to make too many of them. So you can still, like, make a bunch and then be like, all right, cool, like, that's this design.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next. Like, seriously, dude, if they put out a Slayer puzzle with fucking Rain and Blood artwork, dude, I'm all over that. Like literally, like, brown on me. Like, I am all over that. No problem. Like, I would love to. I will go out and buy paint, you know, puzzle glue and a frame. And, like, I think that would be sick, you know? So that's what we've been trying to talk people into, is just like, look, you can just take your artwork and put it on there, you know?
Yeah, I saw somewhere posted the other day that there's, you know, basically all the Metallica album covers and some Megadeth and stuff like that coming out. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to sit down and do, you know, Rust in Peace.
Right. You know, Rustin, actually, I'm doing
500 pieces.
Yeah, right. Right. Rustin 1,000 pieces. It all grew together from heat and grandpa's spit. Yum. See, that's why I never like to go to my friends' houses, because that's the sort of thing that happened there. And I was like, I don't want any part of this. Grandpa's spit becomes a part of the ingredients, man. That's not where I want to be.
Ro, you got a question here from Chris Sinzak. What does Ro think of the Rock icon figures?
Okay. For Mr. Chris. I'm not a huge fan. I think their sculpting has gotten much better over the years, but I don't think you can really can I swear?
Yeah.
Swear? Okay, good. I don't think you can really fuck up Lemmy. Like, that's kind of pretty much, you know, that's sort of a staple. Like, I can't draw for shit and I can still draw Lemmy. So, you know, when it comes to certain things like that, like, you can't really fuck up. But I feel like their first batch of the first bunch of things they came out with, the Pantera ones, the Dimebag ones, I just thought the sculpts and the painting was like, eh. But that's just me, you know. I always wanted like one of the bigger companies to sort of handle it. Like, I was hoping like a Gentle Giant or Sideshow or somebody like that would really come along and, you know, sort of, you know, take the reins on it, but nobody ever did. And Rock Icons did, and they're doing very well with it, so I can't argue that. But me personally, I never really dug their statues all that much, especially not for the price that they were.
Yeah, Sideshow would be an awesome company to take those over, because, you know, their Star Wars stuff. I mean, it's it is like absolutely perfect on those molds. So
okay, sorry. Go back to the picture of Dimebag real quick. Can you zoom in on that again?
Yeah, let's get back to it here.
Yeah, you had a like just his head and but it's like I don't know if it was just yeah they're getting better. They're definitely getting better. Yeah. I just feel like it's still not quite there yet. Like to me personally, like I said, like Gentle Giant or Sideshow, like to have like a Hot Toys version of Dimebag or the Pantera guys or whatever, like I think would be just insane. Yeah. Like really cool. Or McFarlane. Yeah. You know, I mean, what McFarlane did with Motley Crue and Kiss and Metallica. I mean, that
I've got the Injustice for All at the full stage.
Nice.
Back here behind me somewhere. It is nice, awesome. Nice.
I have the where is it? The Creatures of the Night, the Kiss one.
Yeah.
The whole stage set and everything. And it is. It's really incredible. But, you know, I mean, I get it, too. It's like, you know, you really want to make sure that you can sell this stuff and all that sort of thing. You know, so if you really don't have. You're not really sure about it. Are you going to really, you know, put in all the money for it? So hard to say.
Speaking of action figures, go ahead and give a plug for what you do with your custom action figures.
Sure. So we make really dope custom action figures. So if you ever wanted to be a Star Wars figure or a G.I. Joe guy, or if you just want to be you on a regular day, we can do it. Actually, I have one here, ironically enough, and I did not plan for this, mind you. It just happened to be here because I'm messy and haven't gotten to cleaning up my desk. But so here's a new one. So my sculptor knows that I'm a big Kiss fan as well as a big Sith Lord and Mandalorian fan. So I don't know if you can see that there. There we go. Thank you. So there's that. And I don't know if you can tell, but he's kind of got like Gene Simmons makeup on there. He's also got a weird detachable tongue. But then the helmet comes off and... boom, it's your favorite brown guy. Look at that. There we go.
That's awesome.
Save.
I'm going to have to order one of those from you, man.
Hell yeah, dude. So yeah, I mean, and the guns come off. Like I have a gun right back here. I have a lightsaber on the side of my belt. All removable removable accessories. And you can do mashups too, which is really dope. So we've done like Darth Vader Jokers. And I mean, this is literally a Gene Simmons Sith Lord version of me. We've done... God, we did a dark helmet from Spaceballs. We've done so many different ones. And there's no 3D printing, there's no molds, and there's no casting. So everything's hand done, hand painted, 10 to 14 points of articulation. They also have the peg holes in the feet, so they're totally compatible with any Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Marvel play sets and stuff. So you could totally just you want to put your finger on the Millennium Falcon? Absolutely can. Pretty awesome. Fucking awesome. And then we also do custom Funko type pops. So if you want to be a Funko pop, we can also do that too. It's pretty rad. I don't know where mine is currently. So here I'll show you a stupid picture. It's me holding mine. I don't know if that really works too well. So, but yeah, that's me holding mine on my postcard. But yeah, so we all we need are photos, really. That's all we need is photos, and we just make it from there. Oh, thank you for throwing that up there. Very cool.
Yeah,
my favorite one, John. You got to see this one. The second, the bottom row. If you could scroll down there, John. There we go. The battle tauntaun is like one of my favorite things we've ever put out ever. It is the coolest
badass.
Friggin' thing ever. And
that is badass.
We made it for a friend of mine who is a huge tauntaun fan. I mean, like literally, she's got like everything. But it's really neat because if you notice, like, she's got like a tunic, you know, it's got like a hard plastic tunic on the front and the back, and so we kind of took out the button that makes the legs move.
Okay.
And we built this saddle to the back with a little bit of space, so the back of her tunic fits right in that slot, so she never falls out of the saddle.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah.
Yeah. And it's seriously, when I first saw it, when my guy first gave it to me, I almost broke down and started crying because it was seriously the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in a long, like, it was awesome. How much will the value increase in an Eddie Van Halen toy once face cancer takes him? Well, it all depends on if you have the face cancer variant version of him. That's the difference.
Bro, just so you don't have to answer that question, that's called trolling.
Oh, no, it's even better, though, because I really want to see the face cancer version of Eddie Van Halen. I think that'd be
just
awesome.
Just melting off his face.
I'm like, we'll make it. You want us to make it? It'll be awesome. You'll be the only one who has it.
I don't want to insult my co-hosts here, but fuck you both.
I'm just playing. But that's actually the beauty, though, of oh, thanks, Mr. Scary or Master Scary, whatever. But that's a cool thing, too, though, is that what we can do is we can make the figures that have never been made before. So if you want a Funko Pop of Dimebag, and they're really not going to make a Dimebag Daryl Funko Pop probably anytime soon, we can make it. So we made a Charles Manson Funko Pop. Like, we don't really care. We'll make whatever.
I'd like a Jeffrey Epstein Funko Pop. Can we line that up?
What was our next? Well, before Comic-Con got canceled this year, we were going to do Gay Jesus. That was going to be our next one. So, oh, man. Yeah, Gay Jesus Funko Pop, because, you know, Gay Jesus loves you, but he hates your shoes.
That's funny. Sinzak says, rock and metal band bottle openers, thoughts, merch idea.
Yeah, dude, totally. I mean, it all depends on, I mean, for stuff like that, we can do really cool shit. I mean, I can do custom shaped ones. So it's like, you know, where you have, I don't know, whatever, hypothetically speaking, Eddie, let's just say, and it's like his mouth is open, like, like screaming. And that's the part where you open the bottle. Like, we can do stuff like that too. Awesome. So yeah, we have so many options of things that we can make people. It's just whether or not people order them from us. Because I've had people, especially during the mask thing, people were like, hey, man, can you make me like 50 Iron Maiden masks? I'm like, no, because I make stuff for their merch company. I can't just start bootlegging their merchandise. So I unfortunately can't do something like that. But if you ask me to make you an Eddie action figure, I can do that, because a one-off is just considered an art piece.
Right.
So we don't get in trouble in that regard. So if you do want a Dimebag Daryl action figure or a Dimebag Daryl Funko Pop or something along those lines, we can absolutely do it. And nobody's going to say anything, because we're just making the one. You know, we're not mass producing them and stuff. Actually, we did Carla from the Butcher Babies and Charlie Benante.
Oh, nice.
Bill Kinney actually has a custom figure. He was one of the first ones that we ever made. Actually, it's on that picture on that page that you just showed, Josh. Bill Kinney's one of my old street teamers from Roadrunner, and a ginormous Star Wars fan, right there next to the right of the Tauntaun.
Oh yeah, see him now.
So he's on the 501st in South Ohio garrison, and so me and his sister went in and made that for him for his birthday, and it looks awesome. We even got his piercings and all his plugs in there, and his TK number, and it was, you know.
I was gonna say, you gotta have his TK number on there.
Absolutely. Well, because all of our figures come with their own stand with their name on it, or the name that you want on it. So yeah, so it's like you get your own stand and everything. There you go, John. You know, of a gay Star Wars fan. I'll totally do a gay Star Wars fan. Bring it. Nice. I will make it. We'll make whatever. We don't really care.
You fat
War Machine Marketing. Scruples? What scruples?
So, Ro, you're going to have to go to Northern Ohio to hang out with John so he can finish up his Stormtrooper gear. What do you have? What was the Stormtrooper armor you bought?
I'm building a Biker Scout. So, Scout nice. Trooper.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of slow going. I'm terrible at it, and I'm afraid of, like, fucking it up. So every
you know
piece
what?
Has taken
if,
a long
if
time.
If anything, that dude Bill Kinney, who just popped a question a second ago, that's the guy to talk to.
I might have to, because it's – oh, boy. Great. I'm just going to get trolled all night long. now it's my guitar player Wheeler. Yeah, it's – the helmet ironically comes in two pieces. So it's not even like – it's like a solid bucket. Like, you have to, like bondo it and sand it, and I'm like, oh boy, yeah. I'm gonna mess this up so badly.
That's why, seriously, Bill Kinney, if you're listening, hook up with John Drake, give the boy a hand, because like I said, Bill's way more handy than I could ever be. That's why I do what I do, because I literally have a bunch of fingers that they're actually a bunch of thumbs that are disguised as fingers. But Bill is a good resource for that, man. And he's one of my dearest friends and a super awesome dude and a Pantera metal fan, Star Wars fan like you've never seen. So
awesome.
A Soulfly and Sepultura fan like you've never seen.
There you go. Yeah, dude. There you go.
Hell yeah, dude. So Bill's a good dude. He's in Dayton, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I have tons of friends in Dayton. Used to play in a band in Dayton. Very familiar with that area. I'll actually be down there in a couple weeks.
There you go. So Bill, if you FaceTime whatever with John Drake, get him on the Stormtrooper thing. So, but yeah, that's the cool thing too. Like I said, so people who are cosplayers, people who are, you know, just Star Wars fans like me, like, I can't do any of this sort of stuff, you know? So to me, I'm like, you know, cool, like let's make one of me and see what happens. And actually, I just got a figure of me made as a Dreadnought from G.I. Joe, so I'm fucking retarded. I'm all about it. There we go. Yep, there's my boy Bill.
Very cool, man. I will hit
that dude up because Bill is the shit. Bill is the shit. Good dude. Good guy. So,
well, one of the first things I brought you guys here for, other than Star Wars nerding out on each other for a little bit, before we get into, I asked you to grab some paper and a pen. We'll do that at the end. I'm going to do we're going to do a nice Star Wars trivia. So I'm going to see how big of a nerd you guys are. And then, but before that, man, we talked about doing our personal super group. So I'm going to say a five piece, you know, vocals. Okay. Two guitar, bass, drums. So let's just do it as we'll go start with drums first. So Ro, who you got on drums?
On drums, I mean, it's so unfortunate that it has to be this, but you know what sucks too is that Neil Purchase died too. But I was never really a Rush fan, even though he's an incredible drummer. I'll never take that away from the band whatsoever. But I think Vinnie Paul's gotta be on drums, because to me, you gotta have the Vinnie Paul Dimebag thing happening. There's so few, you know. It's funny, my buddy out here, Luis Delgado, him and a bunch of other dudes, awesome dudes, have a Pantera tribute band called Trendkill Revolution.
I've heard those guys on Facebook. They're good.
Awesome. And they've let me sing with them on stage. It's a ton of fun. I love supporting those guys. But their drummer and their guitar player, their Vinny and their Dime, are actually brothers also. And I think that is like one of the coolest aspects of their cover band is the fact that they're brothers. Like, I think that's there's not many other Pantera tribute bands that can actually say, oh yeah, we have like a Vinny and a Dime kind of thing, right. You know? So I always think that's a cool thing. So if you ever get a chance, man, you got to check them out. Trendkill Revolution. Super awesome dudes. Awesome. So yeah. So Vinny Paul for me, for a drummer. And I mean, honestly, as a huge Kiss fan, I would also love to have Eric Carr as a drummer as well. But I think for what we're talking about right now, I think Vinnie Paul fits the bill.
Yeah. John, what do you got?
Mine is probably not a surprise either, being from one of my favorite bands. But I picked my dream band kind of like not just, oh, I like the musicians. I was like, okay, if I had to have a band, I want them to actually bring more to the table than just, I love their music, because for me, it would be all Van Halen and Dream Theater. no surprise here, but I actually did pick Mike Portnoy as my drummer. And again, not only because he could basically play any kind of style that you would want, but he's a backing vocalist. He can help run the business. He's got great stage presence. Stage presence is a huge thing to me with a band. So, you know, he combines stage presence and songwriting ability and stuff like that. And obviously the technical ability is basically second to none. So, yeah, I chose Mike Portnoy from Sons of Apollo and Dream Theater and all kinds of like 75 other bands. So that was my guy.
I have to amend something. See, Josh, I misunderstood. I thought it was like the heaven band. Like people who passed away. Oh, so it's just across the board.
I meant to say dead or alive. So yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was kind of doing the See, people were saying Danny Carey, and I'm like, wait, he's alive though. And then when you pick Mike Portnoy, I'm like, that guy's alive too. So I was on the heavenly band kick.
I hate to break it to you, Ro, but Danny Carey and Mike Portnoy both passed away today. So
what a crappy Throx day. Man.
Fuck 2020. God
fuck 2020, man. Stupid year. If that's the case, then I do have to change it up a little. I got to nominate my buddy Dirk Verburen from Megadeth and Sorrel Work.
Oh, yeah.
Dirk is not only, dude, seriously, one of the baddest fucking drummers out there, and there are a lot of bad fucking drummers out there, but he is also my drum teacher, which is also really kind of cool. But he, you know what, it's... You know, there's so many things about him that are so cool. In that, A, he's a super nice dude. Like, that's number one. First and foremost, like, to hear people like Dave Mustaine and Ellison being like, "Dude, we love working with this guy." Like, that's just like a testament to like the niceness of this guy. But watching him play drums, whether it's with whether it's with Megadeth or Soilwork, or when he does like some of these grindcore bands that he'll just play drums in. Tim Young is another one. Whoever said Chris Aiken, can't argue that whatsoever. But he just knows the technical aspect. I mean, as a teacher, he knows how to teach the right stuff. He's just really proficient and always just has such an awesome positive attitude. So it's like you want to not only like sit there and watch him play drums, but you want to also be like, so dude, like tell me your views on, you know, potato chips. You know, like you just want to talk to him about whatever. So it's like he's just a really good dude. But watching him do everything from, you know, I mean, obviously Megadeth stuff is not easy to play. Soilwork stuff is not easy to play. But when I see him totally get down and do like some crazy, brutal grindcore thrash blast beat drum, like it's just amazing to watch. So his versatility to me is like, yeah, man, if I don't care if you pull, you know, Les Claypool in this somehow or somebody, you know, like that, you know, what's his name? Mike Patton or something like that. Like when you have somebody like Dirk, man, he's gonna fit into whatever needs to be fit, and he's gonna do it right, and it's gonna always be amazing because you got such a huge lover of music on every scale, whether it's Prince to, you know, fucking anal cunt to, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like he runs that gamut. I think that's awesome. So Dirk gets my vote for drums.
All right, so I'm gonna go a little bit more modern here with that. Well, I guess Dirk's modern, but you know, the drummer I'm taking is Chris Adler. I think that of all drummers, yeah, recent drummers, he has a style that's his own. He has a sound that's his own. He destroys, you know, he destroyed in the latest Megadeth, Lamb of God. And I think, you know, as much as I like the new Lamb of God album, it's definitely missing Chris. And
the
even
Adler-ness of it.
And half the Adlerness of it.
Half the Adlerness, if you will.
And then, yeah, man, but it's just like, even his solo, the new band that he put out, that sounds a little ridiculous. I didn't hate it because I liked his drumming so much. So yeah, I'm going with Chris Adler. And nice. I will also agree with Chris Aiken, any drummer that's played in Sepultura. Alloy, you know, it's so messed up that how amazing Igor is, for Eloy to come into Sepultura and just be like, holy fuck, man, that guy is good.
Dude, Eloy is incredible to watch. He is absolutely. You know who else is really insane? And I don't know the dude's name by any stretch. From Infant Annihilator.
Okay.
I think there's YouTube videos of him just like drumming, just like practicing and just watching this guy is like, I don't think this guy's human at all.
I think I'd be afraid to look up those two words together in an internet browser.
Yeah. That's why you got to use it on YouTube. I don't think YouTube will allow anything else other than this band.
Yeah, right.
but yeah, that guy's something else too, man. It's just watching this dude go, and I'm like, wow. But yeah, Eloy and Igor for Sepultura. Yeah, amazing stuff. Absolutely amazing stuff. I'm trying to think of who else. You know who else I always loved is Jamie Miller from Snot.
Oh yeah,
that dude could just him and Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction and Infectious Grooves. That's another dude who's just when you see him, you're just like, I'm just gonna never pick up an instrument ever because this guy has done it so well that I'm not even gonna bother.
So you mentioned Snot, and I'm thinking Morgan from Seven Dust. That guy, every time I've seen him live, is just absolute fucking money. Like, just, you know, absolute money.
Can I tell you a quick weird, weird little story about him? So I was doing my zine Shock to the System back in the day, I lived in a tiny little town called Metuchen, New Jersey. It's a real small little place. David Copperfield is from there, though. Me and him had the same guidance counselor. We'll figure. But anyway, so I'm interviewing him, and he's, you know, we all look at Seven Dust as an Atlanta-based band, you know, from Georgia. And I'm interviewing him at the Birchall nightclub, and I'm like, yeah, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm from Jersey. I left here when I was like six. He goes, I'm from some small town. I'm like, really? What town? He's like, no, you never would have heard. And I like totally like asked him like six times. Like, no, seriously. He's like, some town called Metuchen, New Jersey. And I was like looking at him like, there's like 15 people that live in Metuchen, New Jersey. Really, dude? Like, how are you from my town? So yeah, it ends up that he is literally from my hometown, this tiny little fucking 2 mile wide square in New Jersey. The figure. Sorry. This is a weird little thing.
And it's very funny that you would think that Morgan took a lot from Jamie from Snot. So, yeah.
Morgan definitely kind of got that Marvel. Real. There you go, Cunt Crusher, because that's a great name. But watch this guy go. Seriously, I know we're going back into the Morgan thing, but seriously, this dude's drumming is so unreal. Like I just sat there and I was just like, this guy is just he's inhuman the way I look at it. But you know, but I think I do think that that Morgan got a lot from Jamie as far as especially the way that he does his like overhead crashes and stuff.
Yeah.
He kind of started adopting that big kind of like weird octopus kind of way of playing.
Yep.
That's what Jamie. That's when I first saw Jamie. He was doing that. I was like, I don't even understand how he's doing this. You know.
There we go. Some Chris Aiken. Aaron Kitcher is the drummer from Infinite Annihilator. Morgan is amazing. So much groove. Yes, Lewis.
Yes, I agree with that, Lewis. For sure. For sure. For sure. I miss seeing that band, man. They're great, man.
All right, we'll go with John on bass. We'll start off with him this time.
All right, go for it, dude.
Well, again, mine is going to be super common, and it's not even a heavy band. But again, I was trying to think of stuff beyond just musicianship and everything because it'd be easy to go with somebody like a Les Claypool or a Billy Sheehan or somebody, you know, somebody crazy like, you know, one of these underground guys that can just absolutely slay. But if I'm having a dream band, I want Michael Anthony on bass because stage presence, and he's the best backing vocalist in the business. And my dream band has massive choruses. And to have those massive choruses, you need a lot of vocals. You need Michael Anthony doing those crazy high notes. So, you know, I've always loved his style, his attitude. You know, he's not that crazy technical player, but he's, you know, he's just always in the pocket. So rock solid, so tasty in what he does. You know, and as I say, he adds an element to a band that not a lot of people do. So, like I say, I think he expands the sound of my dream band in ways that other guys might not. So, you know, I'm going with Michael Anthony.
Michael Anthony, all right.
Yep.
That sounds pretty cool. Let me see. I'm trying to think because, you know, like you were saying, John, you know, you could always go with a Les Claypool, and that's, you know, sort of a low-hanging fruit, I guess you could say, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I would have to go with Robert Trujillo.
Because, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
That guy, between Metallica, Suicidal, Infectious, I mean, that dude can thrash with the best of them. He can fucking skate with the best of them, and he can funk with the best of them. And I think and then every once in a while, just when you get that second where he can throw in a little mini bass fill, bass solo, you know, it's not going to be just some twangy, you know, slapping kind of nonsense. It's going to be something that's got some real fucking meat to it, some real balls to it. So yeah, I got Robert Trujillo for my bass, man.
And the stage presence again, man. I mean, some people make fun of that crab walk and everything, but he looks cool when he's doing it. You know, it looks cool.
Kidding me? That thing. Just to watch, just to watch him use his fingers when he's playing like Metallica shit, man. I'm like,
and him on that on Bruised, Booze, and Broken Bone, the live DVD from Black Label, dude. His tone was fucking killer.
Yeah,
I mean that was one of the best bass tones ever. So yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that one. That's a good pick.
Yeah,
I
think he's just super. I mean, just and not for nothing, just the braids. I mean, maybe it's just because I wish I had hair, but right. Like just when he's like sitting there with the two huge ass braids, I'm like, fuck yeah, man! Like I live vicariously through that guy's hair.
So I got called out for picking the Van Halen stuff and the Dream Theater stuff, but my singer, I don't think anyone's gonna guess that I would have picked this singer. Okay. So right. I'm not gonna be going there. So. Anybody who's watching this that knows me, it's not going to be just a Van Halen Dream Theater like crossover,
right? I want David Lee Roth as the singer. Like, yeah, we know John. Okay, whatever.
and Sammy Hagar is the rhythm guitar player,
right? Totally, and the drummer and the keyboard player too.
Gary Cherone.
Yeah, right. We get it, John. Okay.
Mitch Malloy. You know, it's funny. I just had Connie Burton. Cliff Burton's older sister on the podcast.
Oh, no kidding.
So I went down the deep dive of Cliff Burton once again, man. So I got to go Cliff with my bass here. So
can't argue that one, man.
I was just going back to the day on the green with you know, For Whom the Bell Tolls and all that stuff.
Oh, God, that one's so amazing. What an amazing live show that is.
Yeah,
really is.
His fingers are like arms in and of themselves. Like, you watch that guy play bass, and his hand looks like the body of the guitar is like this, and his hand covers almost all of it. It just feels like, it just looks like he's going to snap that bass in half whenever he's playing.
See, and I have to give an honorable mention to my man Geezer Butler, man, because there's that Black Sabbath show in Paris in 1970 where they really show him just playing and like Fairies Wear Boots, and it's just like, I can't even tell what his fingers are doing, but yeah, I just know the sounds that are coming out of him. Well, he does it in this really weird, like, I don't know, like this weird twitchy finger kind of thing, and I've always tried to figure it out. But he is one of my favorite bass players of all time. That
you know, it was cool. A couple of years ago at Louder Than Life here at the festival, his band, he has like a new band. I don't even remember the name of the band, but they were playing on like the third stage, far away from the other two stages. Wow. And Geezer had, it was, honestly, I don't even remember who was in the, I think Matt Sora might have even been in the band. But you get over there, there's nobody watching this band, and you're like, it's fucking
Geezer. And you're like, do you know who this guy is?
And I basically, you could walk right up to the front, and I walked up, watched him play. I was like, holy shit, he's right there. And then, you know, went back to you know, media and all that stuff. But yeah, it was crazy seeing him up close and personal.
Yeah.
See some 18-year-old kid walking away from the stage. Fuck these guys. They're not as good as Black Sabbath. Like,
right. Look at this guy trying to be like Geezer Butler. Whatever, dude. Geezer Butler would totally kick your ass, bro.
Look at that old man up there. You're no Geezer.
You're no Geezer Butler. Look, he's even trying to look like Geezer Butler. What an asshole.
So Scribble has joined the comment section here.
Who is this?
Scribble.
Scribbled. Our rapper friend Scribble.
Okay, I'll take your word on that one.
He's a good dude. Good dude. He's solid.
Scribble in the house.
The,
So what do we got next?
We got guitar. I'm not going to do rhythm and lead because I'm just using basically two leads. And I'll start first. Yeah. And I'm not going to pick the one guy that everybody else is going to pick. We'll just all agree that Dimebag's one of the guitar players.
Yeah.
But I'm going John 5, man. Seeing him live so many times just blows me away, and just watching him even on just Instagram daily, he'll just pick it up and just blow your mind what he's doing, man. So John 5 if you were to do a Pantera right now, everybody's always talking about Zach, I would like to see John try it out. John 5, give it a shot.
I could dig on that. That sounds pretty good. Guitar though, John, you might have to go first. I'm gonna have to think about this one.
I have a couple honorable mentions, but I think my guitar is like obviously the easiest decision for me ever. But it's obviously
Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen. He's the reason I got into music. He's my favorite musician. I met him, and he was just absolutely the most down to earth guy you've ever met. And again, you know, he brings songwriting, he brings vocals, he brings stage presence. You know, and since we all agreed on Dime, you know, Scribble, you're high if you think John 5 is overrated. You know, but I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I think one of the biggest regrets I have musically is that we never got to see that supposed Eddie Van Halen, Dimebag Darrell, Zakk Wylde album that they were supposedly calling it. Like, there's those stories about them calling him at, like, you know, 4 a.m. He'd be like, what the fuck? What are you calling me for? And they're all hammered, like, we gotta do this record, bro. Like, could you imagine what that would have sounded like? Holy
shit. I think
shit.
It's good that they didn't do that, because I think that would literally kill people. I think people's heads would literally explode. They would hit certain tones, and everybody's eyes would roll up in the back of their head, and that would be and they'd be like, oh shit, they hit the death tone.
Picture like an Eddie Van Halen solo over one of those just absolutely like destructive, like dime, like breakdown riffs and stuff. I mean, just it doesn't get any better than that, you know?
No, I can't argue that one, dude.
Yeah. Now, and if I was to have some honorable mentions, there's a guy I've really gotten into lately. He's an Italian guy named Marco Sfogli. He's played on some he's a solo guy. He doesn't really tour, but he's in a band called Ice Fish. He's played on the James LaBrie solo stuff. And then there's a solo guy. His name is Pliny. And it's kind of like a jazz fusion metal instrumental type thing. But I love it. It's really cool. It's progressive, of course. I'm into some progressive stuff, but I love it. And so I think he'd be a very unique choice. But obviously, my 1A and 1B have got to be Eddie Van Halen and Dimebag. So.
Fair enough. I can't argue that one. All right, I'm going definitely left to center here because I think it's pretty – it's also the same thing. It's very easy to pick a Dimebag. It's very easy to pick a Kerry King or a Hanneman or whatever. I'm going Adam Dudikowitz from Killswitch.
Nice. Oh,
well, there's your songwriting.
Yes, because then you got your songwriting. You have a good goofy aspect to the band. That is fucking sure, man. I mean, not for nothing. Anybody who's like 8 feet tall running around with a cape and Daisy Dukes on stage, man, you go, you know what? That guy – he's gonna go in weird. He's gonna take this shit in weird directions.
Yep.
But not only that. I mean, he is, in my opinion, very much the godfather, if not the weird, creepy uncle of metalcore. You know, like I said, he's got the he's. But not only does he have the chops and everything, but he's super versatile. I mean, when you look at the stuff really? He's done, you know, between. You know, I mean, the Ferret record and Alive and Just Breathing all the way through to where they are now. Times of Grace. I mean, his guitar playing talent is like it covers every single genre. It covers every single angle. And he's one of those dudes also that I think doesn't get nearly enough credit for what he can do. Same thing with Joel, to be honest with you. I think either and or when it comes to them. They're both so good, and I've gotten to see them, you know, work with them when I was at Roadrunner and all sorts of stuff. And just when you see them every day, or you see them a lot of days in a row, and you're just kind of like, holy shit, man! Like, just look at what this guy does, and he's running around being goofy, and you're like, and he's also funny as hell. So shit, you know. So it's like he just brings so much goofy kind of fun to the whole thing, but also he's got the production chops. He knows how to write a song. He's really got it.
I like this comment. Imagine the production value with Adam D at the helm of the rest of that talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's exactly it. I know Chris was saying Dallas Coil, but if you're going to go with a Coil, I'm going with the Doc brother, the Coil brother. That is Doc.
I like Scribble throwing out Wes Borland, man. That's a dude that's underrated.
You know, if you listen to $3 Bill, y'all's, just his guitar tones like, even though those songs go in their own direction and all that sort of stuff, if you just listen to his guitar tones, they're super sinister and creepy as fuck on that record.
Yep.
It's just something that I feel like gets really overshadowed just by Fred Durst and, you know, the scratching and all that sort of stuff. But it's like when you really just sit down and listen to those Wes Borland tones, that shit's evil, man. I don't know why that dude's not in a like Slayer-esque type band right now, just making some of the creepiest, scariest shit ever.
Rob Arnold, my boy from Cleveland, there. My dude.
Like Chimera, yeah. Rob and Matt DeVries. I haven't heard anything from Matt DeVries in forever and a damn day.
No, that's not since he was doing the Fear Factory thing.
Yeah. That was only for a minute and then that was it. And I haven't heard anything from him lately. But yeah, either of those two guys also. I mean, same thing, just super versatile, amazing songwriters, great stage presence, the whole nine. Yeah. You know?
That band, like I actually my band back in the day rehearsed in the room next to Chimera. And nice. It was I actually went to school with the Chimera guys in high school. And nice. It was funny. Like, they were writing The Impossibility of Reason when we were next to them. And hearing those songs come together, you were just like, I mean, because it was so different from the first, from the first album. And it was like this straight ahead, just brutal shit. And, I mean, oh, my God. And some of the stuff that didn't end up on the record, you're just like, how the fuck are they not using that? But
right.
I think I told Toomey this one time. I actually got into a drum off with Andals at that time. And I was like screwing around. Oh, yeah. Well, it was funny, man. It was like I was, you know, messing around on drums trying to figure something out. And all of a sudden I hear him like do a little thing. And it became a call and answer. So I'm trying to do stuff. You know, I can play drums a little bit. And it went on for about 5-6 minutes or something. And then all of a sudden you hear this. And I just go, you win.
Yeah, right. Forget it. I'm good.
It's over,
I'm
man. Done. It's over. But
I'm yeah, done. I can't do nothing.
Yeah. That was a great band, man.
The Ken and Buzz from Unearth comment, man. That, you know, that's funny. unearthed of that whole, like, you know, what do you call it, the New England hardcore scene,
that,
you know,
like the New American,
yeah, heavy metal, all whatever. That stuff.
Yeah.
Like when that stuff started coming around, obviously I was way big into the new metal stuff at the time. And then, like, I remember a buddy of mine playing The Oncoming Storm to me, and he's like, dude, check this out. And I'm like, holy shit, guitar solos are back.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Well, not only that, I mean, with them, they had the guitar solos and they had those breakdowns that were just crushing, fucking crushing. I mean, we have to add, I mean, there's so many people that you can add on this guitar list. I mean, you know, we were talking about the Adler brothers earlier, you know, and what's his name? Campbell, right? No, I'm thinking of
John Campbell's the bass.
Morton, right?
Yeah. Mark Morton.
Morton, thank you. Sorry, I'm getting Chris's and Mark's all mixed up. But yeah, I mean, like, same thing with those guys. I mean, those guys are just watching them play and, just, you know, what they do and what they've done. I'm like, shit, dude, we could literally put a guitar. We could put a band together with, like, 16 amazing guitar players, you know.
Throw this out there. Is it Louis or Louise? I'm sorry, I don't want to ruin your name. I'm calling everybody Armenian and everything else.
Right.
Like, I'm just ruining everything.
Yeah, why don't you wave your white privilege around a little bit more there, Josh? Come on, man. You got a flag there. You could be flying, huh?
Yeah, crack a farm boy down here. But I will say that I am talking to Mark Hunter. He should be the guest next week on Talk To Me Live here. So yeah, Mark Hunter should be on next week. So make sure to come back. You know,
Speaking of Mark Hunter, we made a custom Funko of him and his girlfriend too. So there we go. Chance, and you're on his page. You can find it on there too.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right. So who's next?
Singer.
Wait. Yeah, singer now.
Okay. Whew. Josh, why don't you take it away then?
You know what's funny, and I was actually talking to the wife about this because I didn't have my singer yet. I told her the rest of the band, and she hit me with one. So you give me Chris Adler, Dimebag, Cliff Burton, John Five, and Chino.
And Chino. All right. Wow.
And the ladies are going to come, John Drake. I'm telling you, it is audio Spanish Fly when you turn on Chino's voice.
It is not anywhere. All right, maybe the drug Spanish Fly, but not Eddie Van Halen Spanish Fly. Don't even compare the two. That's like calling Roe Armenian, dude.
Come on, man. Chino's got a smooth voice. I can dig on that for a second.
I'm just not a Deftones fan.
That'll do it. If you never really got into the Deftones thing, then it's Chino's a hard sell for people.
Yeah, I was never a fan. I was never a fan.
You know, I'm just finding out recently that people don't like Chino. Like, I've always just been around so many people that love Chino, and I'm just like, yeah, everybody loves Chino. And then, like, even John and, like, Chris Aiken and a bunch of people are coming out of the woodwork. Like, I'm like, you really don't get Chino? Like, whew.
He's one of those guys who's definitely talented and whatnot. I just never got into that band. I mean,
yeah, just hit the wrong chord.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. You know,
Luis or Lewis. I don't know how we're going to pronounce your name, dude.
Watch your brown privilege there.
But... Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Seriously. That's why I'm using the disclaimer. Luis, Lewis, you know, I say both ways just to, you know, cover my ground. But he put down Jesse Leach, though. I mean, Jesse's another one that's.
See, if that I came in on Howard Jones. So, like, Howard Jones is my dude. And Jesse's like. I mean, it's a 1A, 1B type situation, but I think I would go Howard over Jesse. That's always an argument.
Ooh, I don't know if I could do that.
So who do you got, Ro?
Who do I got right now for a singer? Well, okay, this guy is literally my favorite, one of my favorite singers, top three at least of all time. I don't want to say he's not known, but he's definitely more cultish, is Dax Riggs from Acid Bath.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That guy has a voice that, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm going to hearken to more of the Acid Bath kind of days more than where he is now, but the dude's voice is like butter. I've seen it melt death metal heads. I've seen it melt people who've never listened to metal. His voice is just unbelievable. Just the bluesiness he brings to it, the screams, all of it, it's just... He could really, I think he could take something where it's like, you know, I have Adam on guitar and, you know, Robert Trujillo and Dirk and all this stuff. And I think he could take those songs and really just make them into something that no metalhead has ever fucking heard ever.
Right.
That's my guy. That's always my guy when it comes to vocals, because his voice is just so incredible to me.
Awesome. Yeah, I had a hard time picking the singer. My buddy Jason Wheeler is actually a guitar player in my band. Brother, believe me, he mentioned a guy that I actually considered, Miles Kennedy, but I was trying to think about who I would pick, because I was like, all right, well, you got like the rock and the hard rock playing with Eddie Van Halen. You got all the different vocals going. Mike Portnoy can play anything. But then I was like, okay, but I need a singer that once Dimebag really starts getting down and dirty, like, you got to have somebody that can play the rock and the heavy stuff. And I know Aiken's going to love this one, but I actually am going with John Bush from Armored Saint and Anthrax.
Nice. Oh, that's like, cool. All right.
Like you said, Ro, like, he could do so many different things. And it's like, if you know, you can do a song like Black Lodge, and then you can go into, you know, so, like, he could sing over some super heavy Pantera stuff too.
Yep. And he's got the fucking, he's got that range, man. He's, yeah. I've seen him hit notes that are just insane before, yeah. Man. That's a great choice, man.
And again, for me, stage presence, like, he just always looked so fucking cool on stage. So it's like, that is like a huge component for me. Like, it's one thing if you can just stand there and hit your notes, like, anybody can do that. But if you can do it while you're moving around, and, you know, and the guy's like 4'6". It's like,
he's super tiny.
I will never forget when I met him, but he literally came up to my chin. I was like, holy shit, man. So, yeah, I just thought he blended awesome with the guys that I picked for the rest of my band. So,
for sure, he's
definitely one of my favorite singers. So, you know, definitely going John Bush.
Hell yeah, dude. That's a great choice, man. I didn't even think about John Bush. That's a solid choice.
It was hard coming up with a singer. It really was. I was like, because I just felt like I was leaving somebody out, you know, because there'd be so many good choices. It's like, and then I started just trying to think of who would blend in with who I already picked, and landed on him.
But I will say that of all things, you know, the super group of all super groups is Phil, Rex, Dime, and Vinny, so...
Right. Yeah, kinda hard. You know, I mean, I'll tell you something. I was thinking, because I was
2020.
Yeah, right. Great. Is that the one where he shoots bees out of his mouth? I can't even remember anymore. But like, I was thinking about it too, because I was thinking Phil, to be honest with you. That was gonna be my kind of backup choice, because after seeing him, what was it, 2 years ago at Psycho Vegas do N Minor. Yeah. Dude, that shit was like a religious experience. That was the most, like, I had never really heard Phil do vocals quite like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so to know that he can definitely hit, obviously, the Pantera stuff and the Slayer stuff and all that, but then also do these real soulful, you know, smoky, raspy voice kind of songs. I mean, seriously, dude, it was... If you get a chance, try and on YouTube, just look up the N Minor stuff when they played in Vegas. And it was, man, me and my wife were right up front. And I remember looking over her, because I was like, oh, like, that's weird that the light is shining off her face. And they were shining off of her tears. And it was just like, you just looked in the crowd and just everybody was just standing there just like just you could tell that it was just such an emotional thing, you know. But it was, you know, yeah, either Dax or Phil for me could really fit this really, really well. You know, just really knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I had Phil on right around the time he did that, and I watched it a lot after he did it, and we actually talked a lot about N Minor, and I think that, honestly, Phil's voice is a little shot when he does the Pantera stuff now, but when he does that N Minor stuff, it's that low register. I think he can just, like, ride off to the sunset and just do N Minor for the rest of the career, and we'll do it.
Seriously, and it'll be fine, too. It'll be totally fine. Mark from Death Angel, definitely a good runner-up, that's for sure.
There you go.
You know what? Okay, so Gabriel saying Ice-T. Now, even though my wife, I'm sure,
would kill
me if she heard me. Yeah, I'm sure if my wife would kill me if she heard this, because she's a retarded Ice-T fan. But I can't deal with Ice-T's vocals. Just can't do it. I keep listening to that new Body Count, especially the song with him and Riley from Power Trip, and I'm like, I just can't wait for Riley to start singing again. And then he comes on and I'm just like, all right, Ice. Yeah, we got, okay, let's just get this. Oh, good. Riley's back on. Oh, whew, okay. You know, I just don't feel like he's quite got the, I don't know. He just doesn't quite have the range for me, you know, like he just doesn't, I mean, he's good for what he does. You know, if you're talking him singing Colors and, you know, New Jack Hustler and all that sort of stuff, you know, it's like, I'm like, all right, cool. But like, you know, he can't sing, you know, like I don't think he can take, like, that's why, like, the people that I feel like we've all been picking are people who can work in a number of different styles. And I feel like with Ice-T, he's that one style, and that's really kind of it. You know, you can't be like, oh, here's the Ice-T Christmas album, because it's not going to be him, like, crooning, you know, friggin', whatever, Nat King Cole and stuff like that, you know? I have heard Turk shit get shot.
But yeah, the last, like, three Ice-T, the Body Count albums, I think the up in production has really helped that band a lot.
For sure.
I didn't get into Cop Killer and all that. The old stuff, it just sounded too, it didn't sound good. But the latest stuff with Will Putney at the helm, it's, you know, it's, he got the sound right. And it's funny when you listen to even Ernie C interviews now, he's like, I don't even know what songs I played on or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, because you probably didn't play on a lot of them. Ernie's a bit rough for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of it. It's like, I just feel like I feel like he's still stuck in 1992 Body Count era.
I did think LeJean earlier too. I do. I'm a big fan of LeJean.
He was on my shortlist.
Yeah, I would give him an honorable mention as well, man. LeJean is same thing. I've seen that dude hit some super growl notes and some super high notes, and yep. You know,
and yeah, he's one of those guys, like, live, even if he's off, it's still really cool.
You know, actually, you know what. I saw them one time in Asbury Park, New Jersey, where he totally lost his voice and he still did the show.
Nice. Yeah.
And it was still amazing. It was just that between each song, he'd be like, you know, like, thank you very much. You know, like, it was very like laryngitis sounding, but like, yeah, he still pushed it through as if it was just another night, you know, to fucking rock the shit. I always give that dude props.
I forget what year it was when his brother was killed, but They took 2 weeks off a tour, and the first show back was actually here in Cleveland. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, dude, if my brother was killed, it's going to take me more than 2 weeks to get back on a stage. Okay, and right. They're about a third of the way through the show, and they did Praise. And I think I got the songs, but whatever. I remember praying with you, that one. And he's like, full on sobbing the whole time, but still made it through this goddamn song. I mean, I was like, dude, that is one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen somebody do. Right. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, like you said, you know, your wife had tears watching and mine and stuff. And I have to admit, I was crying watching that. I was like, oh my God, I can't even imagine singing that stuff. Like, you know,
especially live. I mean, that's kind of where you get your, you know, you kind of get it all out there too, you know, like that is where you feel that song, those songs in that situation. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, just for to have him singing that, like, live, especially in the first show back, you know, yep. I'm sure speaking it was pretty fucking cathartic for him though. That's for sure.
Very much.
John and family, he's from, his family's from Nashville. And so like in the 90s, when whatever album came out, they were on tour, came through Nashville, and his whole family came out. That was from there, and his grandma was on the side of the stage, and she was just waving her arms, getting into it. That's my aunt, baby up there. I mean, it was the most fun I've ever had. That's around awesome. Around a parent at a show. She was getting into it about her grandson up there rocking out.
That's hilarious. Awesome. Gotta love stuff like that.
Yep.
You know, it's like while everybody's drinking and drugging backstage, you're like, oh yeah, here's my aunt and uncle, and you're just like, oh yeah, that's awesome.
Scribble, we did. Well, this is not the classic.
While somebody's handing you a fucking gas mask with a bong on it, you're like, hi guys, hi Mr. and Mrs.
All right, I'm gonna go to the bathroom for a half hour, Grandma. I'll be right back. Ignore my running nose when I come out. Yeah,
don't mind me.
All right, so let's start landing this plane on some trivia.
Okay, cool.
I've got some Star Wars questions pulled up here. Wait, actually, one second.
So somebody asked earlier if we think that Rian Johnson is the devil. or if he's evil. It was one of the two. I can't remember. Yeah. So I wanted, John, I wanted to get your take, and I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt the thing, Josh. I just wanted to get your take on Ryan Johnson and stuff like that, because obviously, just like Trump and masks and hoaxes and COVID and all that, everybody's so divided on shit. So I'm always curious to hear what, you know, because there's going to be some people who are like, fuck The Rise of Skywalker, fuck The Last Jedi, everybody needs to eat a dick. And then there's going to be people who are like, no, they were actually not that bad. So I want to hear from you, another Star Wars nerd. What do you have to say?
Well, it's That's funny wrong. Because my least favorite Star Wars movie is The Force Awakens. So, but actually, I am a huge proponent of The Last Jedi. I thought it was awesome. One of the reasons that I'm a huge prequel fan is because George Lucas tried to do something different, and I like when, you know, they change up the story and do kinds of, you know, different things and push the envelope. And I thought that The Force Awakens was basically a New Hope ripoff, so I was not a fan of that. Whereas The Last Jedi just totally turned a lot of things on its ear. And my favorite part, and I'll keep it short because we don't want to turn this into a Nerf Herder Council fucking episode, but, you know, a lot of people bitch about Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi, but I thought it was awesome because it would have been so easy to just have him come out like superhero Luke and, you know, kick ass and go home. Like, I loved how they were like, no, things change after 30 years. You know, he's a different guy. And, you know, I loved it. I thought it was kick ass the way that they did that. And he kind of redeemed himself at the end with the, you know, the most Jedi moment you've ever seen. So I love it personally. I understand why people don't, but personally I love it. So, since you said I would be wrong, I'm sure you probably are one of the,
you're wrong. That's
to you, Josh.
And you're an asshole. Goodbye.
I'm sorry. We are Twitter.
Yeah. Right. And we're done. No, I'm like I said, I'm always curious as a Star Wars fan. It's like, I just look at everything like maybe Marvel has spoiled me somewhat, but I just look at everything as alternate universes now. Right. So, you know, that's kind of my thing, but I'm always curious to hear, you know, when somebody defends Ryan Johnson and stuff like that, because it's, you know, there's plenty of times where I've thought something about a certain thing and somebody's like, well, yeah, well, what about this and this? And I'm like, oh shit. Well, there goes my perspective on the whole situation.
Right.
So, but you still didn't change my mind, but that's okay. No, I just like to hear stuff.
We only have a few minutes here. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Josh, keep going. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
Give me an hour and I'll change your mind.
Right. No, you won't. Chris Aiken is right.
Chris Aiken is a Kid Rock fan. He has no right to speak on this, and he also thinks that Indiana Jones is boring. So what the fuck does he know about movies?
Yeah, fair enough. And oh, sorry, somebody mentioned Peter Steele earlier. I couldn't see him in my band, but I love him to death. But yes. I couldn't see him in my band.
Remember how you just told me I was wrong about The Last Jedi?
Yeah,
I might have to tell you you're wrong about Peter Steele.
No, don't get me wrong, dude. I love Peter Steele. I just in my version of the band, like his vocal delivery and his bass playing wouldn't have been in mind.
He's one of those guys for me that I never got. He's just one of those bands I could never get into. So it's just not my cup of tea.
For sure. I work pretty closely with them, so I think I just got a way different perspective.
Yeah.
Growing up, also just kind of witnessing them and just being like, wow. But yeah. I mean, I thought he was awesome, but it just wouldn't fit in my band.
Sure.
But he is awesome, and I miss him, and he was cool. So, all right, Josh, Star Wars stuff, because now I'm really.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Like all Last Jedi questions. Shit.
Yeah. Right.
All right. It's going to be 5 questions.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 100, 200, 300, 400 points, you know, they go up. And then question 5, you bet your points. So if either of you losing. So I'm gonna keep scoring. This is the first time I've tried this. So
I'm excited to actually have a trivia contest against somebody that actually knows what they're doing. So you wouldn't believe how many times I get challenged and it's like, you know, how many buns did Leia have on her head? I'm like, dude, come on.
Right. And you're like, get the shit out of here. Go away.
All right, so I'm gonna ask you both the same question. Write down your answer, and then we will go from there. So for 100 points, what lizard-skinned head of the Black Sun criminal syndicate was added to Star Wars canon in 1996 and then removed in 2014.
Jesus Christ, man. All right, well, so she had two buns on the sides of her head.
All right, well, repeat it one more time.
Yeah, you're going to have to repeat that again.
All right, hang on, let me get back to it.
What lizard
skin lizard-skinned head of the Black Sun Criminal Syndicate was added to Star Wars canon in 1996 and then removed in 2014?
I can picture the character, and I can't think of the damn... I can't think of the name of the...
I think I know. All right. Yeah, all right. Do we need the alien species name?
He has a name, a full-on name.
Okay, no problem. All right, I got it.
I'm
right.
Trying to blank.
No problem. All right.
John, you got it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. What do you got, Ro?
Oh, are we doing this now? Oh, okay.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll do it as we go, so we know where.
Oh, okay, cool. I had Zizor.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct.
From Shadows of the Empire.
John, did you have that?
Zizor.
Did you have that or no?
Yeah, why?
Well, I need to see it, prove it.
I wouldn't have said okay otherwise.
That's why you have a pen and paper.
Yeah, Zizor. That's the ticket.
I've got you said that's 100 points?
Yeah, the pen and the paper is so that I can see that you wrote the answer down.
Oh, I was writing the points. Okay. You can't even read my handwriting. Do you want me to show you?
Yeah, now that you've wrote it down really quick, yes.
Yeah, because I wrote it down. I don't think you can really
now
read
that
you're
it, cheating.
Yeah, now that I'm cheating. It says it looks more like Zizer because I don't know the spelling.
Oh, well, that you get points deducted for that. All right, let's go back up here to this. All right, this very important Jedi that is key to the prequel trilogy, but never appears in it, had his name changed by a typo in the Attack of the Clones script because of the F and D keys are next to each other. This very important Jedi that is key to the prequel trilogy, but never appears in it, had his name changed by a typo in the Attack of the Clones script because the F and the D keys were next to each other.
I've got my answer written down.
All right. I'm not sure if I'm right on that one.
All right. John, what do you got?
Sifo Dyas.
That's trick. That's it.
Oh, all right. Nope, that wasn't me. All right, I don't have that one.
All right, 200 for John. So John's up to 300. Ro at 100.
Yep.
All right. So this is for 300 points.
All right.
I like this one, but I don't. It's got a bunch of answers to it. But I'm gonna ask. Well, I will save that for the 400 because it's a little bit harder.
I don't know. That first one was pretty smart.
Yeah, that first one was low. That was a deep cut.
All right, for 300 points, this character used to smuggle guns before opening a diner on Coruscant. Am I correct on that one?
Coruscant.
There we go. And is partially named after George Lucas's son.
I got that one.
I do too.
All right, what do you got?
Dexter Jester.
Yep. All right. So both of you got that one. All right. So Ro at 400, John at 600. All right. So this is for 400 points.
Let's see what we got.
Look over and saw that. Make John show his paper. He's a cheater.
I did show my paper, you bastard.
Porkins.
All right. Let's see here.
Oh, Porkins, will you ever get love?
All right, this has six answers.
Oh, God.
So you have to get all six.
All right, cross off my number five here so I have more room to write. Okay.
All right, let's see what you got.
All right. Name all the planets Master Yoda sets foot on in the six canonical films.
Canonical films, okay.
All right.
Canonical films.
Oh, God. What is that one?
You said there's six?
Yeah, six.
God damn it, the one I always forget the name of this planet. It's gonna be
Hold on, in the six movies, technically, he's there.
Yeah, so six of them. I've got them here. So whenever you guys are ready.
I still have two more to get. And the one I can't.
I got six. I'm just hoping that they're all right.
Give me a second to try and get the sixth one here. Hold on. So, okay. Read the question again. Read the question again. I think I found some gray area.
Possible.
Name all the planets Master Yoda sets foot on in the six films.
Okay. The question is wrong.
Why is that?
Because there are nine canonical films.
He's one of those people, Josh. Sorry, I didn't realize.
I can prove this. This might be my out on the sixth planet. I'm trying to go through. Oh, hold on.
I don't know if that one counts, though. I know what you're thinking, and I don't know if that counts.
All right, I have seven written down.
So I have seven as well. I have seven, too. But okay. I think one of them is bullshit, though, even for me.
All right. So let's see if we got them. The one, I don't know if I got the right name.
Okay.
So,
All right. We'll go honor system on this one. So we got Dagobah. Right.
Yeah, I got Dagobah.
Got that.
What were we at? Was it Coruscant? What is it?
Coruscant. Right. Coruscant. I got that one.
Okay.
What else you got?
You know, it says six on the thing, but it only shows five on the actual answer here. Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk, yep.
I got that one.
Geonosis.
Yep, that was my last one. Got that one.
And it says Kamino.
Yep.
It says he's mentioned, but not shown.
Yes. Not only that, but on top of it, you also have Endor, in which he appears as a Force ghost. So
I have Force ghost shit, too.
See, but that's the one, though, I was like, that's a little iffy. And he's also on Naboo for the big celebration.
And episode one. He's also on Ahch-To in The Last Jedi as a Force ghost.
True. That's as a Force ghost, yes. Now, that's why but he said six. He said six canonical, so I'm going by the first six. Even though you're right in that there are nine canonical, technically.
So if we're gonna go with those, there is one more. Now, do we count it as a moon? He was at the end of episode three, I believe it was called Polis Massa.
I had that too, but I crossed it off because I was kind of like, it's like an asteroid, so I didn't really know if that was really like a planet.
I wasn't sure either. So
But the Naboo one, a lot of people don't realize, is at the end of episode one when he's there for the whole ceremony.
Yeah.
So we didn't. So John, you didn't have Kamino. So are we going that you did not get that one?
And he didn't have Ahch-To, and we both. So I think we kind of tied, but it depends on how you want to. So it's how do you want to count this, Ro? Like, because we both got extras, but then we both had different extras, like.
I knew about the Kamino one because that they do mention because he says, all right, I got to go and see what's been going on with Kamino and the clones that they're building us, which leads me to believe that he went to Kamino, talked to the fucking prime minister and was like, all right, cool. Let's send these fucking.
I didn't write that down because it doesn't show him do it.
Right. Well, that's why he said it, even though it doesn't show him, but it's still kind of on there, you know,
was that part of the question?
He says he's set foot on, so I don't know. You don't technically see him on there.
Yeah, you don't, but it does mention that you don't see him. Right?
It does, but it doesn't say that he actually went. Oh, no, we had to have because he showed up with the clone army.
That's right, because Mace Windu took everybody, he took all the Jedi's to Geonosis while Yoda went and talked to the Kaminoans.
Yeah. See, I had Polis Massa because you actually see him there.
True.
So I was like, so that's why I don't know. It's like, all right.
Yeah, it's a little six of one, half dozen the other, because like I said, Polis Mothah is kind of like an asteroid.
I know.
So
all right. So going into the betting round, Ro has 800. John, you are at 600.
I'm betting it all.
So John just went all in.
I'm good, dude. Are you kidding me? I'm good. I'm not betting my stuff. I'm good. I know what I did.
All right. So
I gotta get a new piece of paper here.
For the win.
For the win. Let's see what you got.
The two youngest senators ever to serve in the Galactic Senate, Imperial Senate, were women. Who were they?
Hopefully I'm correct. I feel like I should be correct. If not, then my wife is going to have to suffer through another marathon.
I don't I know the obvious one. I don't know the second one.
Well, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, shit, that could actually be a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a trick question, I feel, but
I'm going
with my answer.
Does this come out of the movies? Because I, you know, I don't think I know the second one.
I'm just going to go with Amidala and Leia.
I mean, that was mine too. But then again, I mean, if you're saying in the Senate, I mean, do we know the age of the, I can't remember the queen's name in Attack of the Clones. Like, was she younger than Leia?
Well, so, yes, Leia is one of them.
Well, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, because Amidala was the youngest queen, and then she went to be a senator.
Yeah.
So I think that she was also the youngest.
Yeah, I have Padme, Leia, and I put that Indian queen, so technically she's Armenian.
Well, Jamila was just the queen of, she was just the queen of Naboo. She wasn't actually a senator.
Jamila,
yeah.
Okay.
Jamila, yeah, no, she was just the queen of Naboo. She wasn't a senator.
Well, I hedged my bets, and I have three just in case. So right. I do have the two they were asking for, but I wasn't sure. Like,
well, technically, none of you have said the other one.
Okay, I'm thinking it's what's her name? Even though she looks way older, but like I'm thinking Mon Mothma.
That's what it says. Mon Mothma, yep, during the Galactic Senate period.
Yep.
Leia and the older sector.
Wow.
And it says, although, is it Ryo Chuchi?
Yeah. Get
close. Yep. She's at least a year older than the two youngest senators. So,
man. See, this was good. You dug out stuff that's actually difficult.
Yeah, yeah. You pulled out some real slightly tough ones that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, that's like it's kind of like that geeks who drink. That they do those, they get some tough ones in there too.
There's a few on here that are just pretty insane. Of where is it at? The one, this is an actual question. Assuming blaster technology gets better over time, rank these fighters by weapons firepower from weakest to strongest. A wing, B wing, E wing, V wing, X wing, Y wing, Z-95 headhunter, or a TIE fighter.
Jesus Christ, dude!
Yeah,
wow.
That's like one of those the trivia questions where they're like, "How many orange stripes are on an X-wing?" And you're like,
"Yeah,
there's orange stripes."
What? Are those stripes? I'm trying to think what the fucking E-wing is. Like, I was like, "What in the hell?" These are the ones you try and dig deep on to screw people like me and Ro, who really do know a ton of shit.
Like, right. Because then you make us feel like we don't know shit about shit. Yeah,
exactly. Like,
I'm sorry, who the fuck are you exactly? Ask me these questions?
I got one for Ro because I won one of these Geeks Who Drink quizzes with this question. I was actually the only one in the room to get this question, right? So
all right, that's it.
I'll give you four Star Wars planets, and you have to tell me what country on Earth they were filmed in.
Oh, so I thought you were going to be like, and what stereotype were they depicted in? I'd be like, Demodian was Chinese.
Yeah.
Watto was Persian and Jewish.
Right. No, okay, so it's Tatooine, Hoth.
Okay.
Mustafar and Yavin 4.
Okay, so Tatooine was obviously, that was Tunisia. Hoth was Norway.
Yep.
Mustafar was that one. I'm not 100% sure on. And Yavin, I'm not 100% sure on either. Yavin was Northern California. I think that's where they did that one. So U.S., I guess. But Mustafar, I'm not 100% sure. I thought that was the studio, the backdrop in London, whatever it's called, something Street Studios.
L Street?
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Actually, okay. Mustafar was Italy. Because they filmed like Vesuvius exploding.
Oh.
They're actually in the middle of filming the movie, and it was blowing up, and they're like, "We got a fire planet. Let's go get like footage of this thing exploding." And then Yavin 4 actually is Guatemala.
Really? They did that in Guatemala? Yeah. I totally thought that was a Northern California thing.
No, it's actually in Guatemala.
Or is that Endor? Was Endor? I think Endor was Endor, Northern California.
Endor was the Redwood California. Yeah.
That was up north.
God damn it, Timmy! Why didn't you ask that one for the last question? I'd be
Well, just have to admit that Ro is the king of Star Wars trivia
amongst us three.
John will never talk to me again. I bookended him with Browns, Titans, and Star Wars trivia.
I had some stuff that he did on that one, but it wasn't the right answer. So
no, it's all good. Hey, you know what? Hey, I tip my hat off to you that you got the Zizor Shadows of the Empire one. So that one to me is like, I can't sit there and be like, man, who the fuck is this guy? He doesn't know shit about shit. No, man. You fucking nailed down the fucking Zizor.
And I know almost nothing about Shadows of the Empire. Hey,
exactly. Too, so it's like, okay, so you missed out on Kamino. Like, that's not enough to make me go like, yeah, dude, stop mentioning Spock whenever we talk about Star Wars kind of thing. You know, it's like, I know you know what you're talking about. It's all good, dude.
And I didn't have Kamino specifically because I'm like, okay, we didn't see him go there. So
we didn't actually
I'm
see him
go by the letter of what's actually on the screen. So
can't argue that, dude. Right. See, that's why I'm like, I can't go by the king of this. I'm like, I know one or two more questions. He might have bested me on that as well. So I would like to see that we are absolutely equals in a situation.
I would say so. I would say so.
Yeah. I would not be so, not knowing any.
I was everything wrong and everything else. Yeah. Right. So far this podcast, I've destroyed races and Star Wars trivia and all that good stuff. So, well, as we wrap this up, guys, let's give out some plugs, man. Ro, where can people find you and War Machine Marketing?
Yeah, www.warmachinemarketing.com, or just drop me a line at ro@warmachinemarketing.com, and let's talk custom action figures. Let's talk some custom Funko Pops, or if you need masks for your business or T-shirts for your band or whatever, I make it all of it. Actually, we also did those Pantera guitars, too.
Yeah, those Pantera guitars look great.
Yeah, the Pantera mini guitars. So we did those too. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, drop us a line. Love to help you out.
Word. Cool. John?
Nerf Herder Council, the stupidest Star Wars podcast in the galaxy.
How am I not on this thing? Stupidest thing ever, I should absolutely be on it.
It's great. We could have a total debate about The Last Jedi. So, we definitely do that. Because if I can get this StreamYard thing hooked up, I got another friend who absolutely detests that movie that I want to debate, so you guys can like double team me and
that sounds gross, but sure. Okay.
My Star Wars podcast is the Nerf Herder Council. We've been on a break for a few weeks here, just kind of catching our breath, but I got some new content coming out here real soon. NerfHerderCouncil.com. We are on Twitter at NHC Podcast. Check us out on Facebook, we're there too. Like I say, it's kind of different as a Star Wars podcast. It's more like what you saw tonight, if it was all Star Wars content. So it's not, anything we take ourselves too seriously. We make a lot of off-color jokes and whatnot. So it's basically like, I would say, Seth MacFarlane and Seth Green getting together and doing a Star Wars podcast. So check it out, man. Nerf Herder Council. Appreciate
Nerf Herder Council. I'm actually adding you on Facebook right now.
There please we go, do, man.
Boom.
And the Lewis the says awesome show. What's the usual time for these YouTube live? I will do them every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. So make sure to check out next week. Should have Mark Hunter from Chimera on talking about their second record.
Oh man, I loved working that record was seriously one of the times I was absolutely like happiest in my life was working on Impossibility of Reason. That was just incredible, the amount of crazy shit that we did.
You had a good comment here. Can't wait to hear you on Doc's podcast. Yeah, that's going to be a good one, man.
Yeah. So I'm I feel we did that a couple weeks back, and I think I'm the next one, actually. It was fun.
Sweet.
But I feel weird now, though, because I was telling my wife this. I'm like, shit, man. Like, I listen to everybody else's podcast, and everybody sounds way smart. I'm just like, was I talking shit about people? Like, I'm like, now I don't know what I said, and I'm all nervous and shit. She's like, you're fine. I'm like, shit, everyone else sounds really smart. I don't sound smart.
Don't feel bad. We've got an episode from a couple of years ago. We got on the topic of David Prowse having a walleye, and it went 10 minutes of just ripping on an old guy that – Well, it's extremely funny. You look back and you feel like a total cock for ripping up the guy. Right. So don't feel bad, dude.
He's like, this is a hereditary trait. I can't do anything about it. You're like, sucker.
I was like, look at this guy. It's like his eyes going the other way. And my brother just blurts out, you have half the other lines from the Twitter.
Oh my God.
And it just rolled on from there, the Peter Griffin stroke face and all that. It was just so one of those things. If the show ever blew up, cancel culture would absolutely eliminate my show.
Just fucking destroy you.
Oh, yeah. It'd be gone.
Well, all right, gentlemen. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Thanks for taking the time, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh. That was a hell of a lot of fun, man. John, it was a pleasure, and awesome, hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. Take care,
bro. Stay metal.
Thank you. All right, guys. Once again, thank you to Ro Coley for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you to John Drake for hanging out with us tonight. Make sure you are checking out their respective things: War Machine Marketing, Nerf Herder Council. And once again, thanks for you for checking out the show each and every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check it out the next day on podcast form. And also make sure to check out Talk To Me just on the normal day. This Thursday, we've got Jeremy Spencer of Five Finger Death Punch, Psychosexual. And then I believe I'm going to put out an episode on Friday with Dee Snider of Twisted Sister fame. So that's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of stuff this week. So once again, thank you guys. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe. And once again, for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys soon.